Would you like to have your Bibles opened at the book of Revelation and the 16th chapter? What I think I'll do is read from the beginning of the 16th and just read to the 10th verse. Then I heard a loud voice from the temple saying to the seven angels, "Go pour out the seven bowls of God's wrath on the earth." The first angel went and poured out his bowl on the land, and ugly and painful sores broke out on the people who had the mark of the beast and worshipped his image. The second angel poured out his bowl on the sea, and it turned into blood like that of a dead man, and every living thing in the sea died. The third angel poured out his bowl on the rivers and springs of water, and they became blood. Then I heard the angel in charge of the waters say, "You are just in these judgments, you who are and who were the Holy One, because you have so judged, for they have shed the blood of your saints and prophets, and you have given them blood to drink as they deserve." And I heard the altar respond, "Yes, Lord God Almighty, true and just are your judgments." The fourth angel poured out his bowl on the sun, and the sun was given power to scorch people with fire. They were seared by the intense heat, and they cursed the name of God who had control over these plagues. But they refused to repent and glorify him. The fifth angel poured out his bowl on the throne of the beast, and his kingdom was plunged into darkness. Men gnawed their tongues in agony and cursed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, but they refused to repent of what they had done. So, this morning I want to draw your attention, if I can, to this fifth bowl of wrath which the angel pours out. You can see it there, and it will be helpful if you keep your Bibles open and you continuously look at that text. Now, I've gone to some lengths to try to show all of you that this wrath of God, which is being poured out in these bowls, is glorious. It has to be glorious because it comes from God. There isn't anything that can come from God's person which is not glorious. Just as his love is glorious, and his grace and his kindness, his mercy and truth, so must his wrath also be glorious. And it will do all of us a great deal of good to learn this once and for all. And then when we see the wrath of God manifest in the earth, we shall look on and we shall glorify God, as we should do. We have learned that this wrath is pure and that it is holy and it is righteous in every way. And I've also said that the expressions of these bowls of wrath, they're not to be understood as warnings, but no, as I said last week, these bowls are full, so they are being poured out. There is no more room. The bowls are full. They have to be poured out. And so, in fact, the wrath of God is now seen in these bowls of wrath, not warning people, but actually these bowls of wrath come as punishment upon our world. And the second verse of the 16th chapter makes it clear that they're poured out on all those who have the mark of the beast. Now, I keep saying that these bowls are current. They are now. These bowls of wrath are not things for you just to think of in the future, but they are current, they are at this moment. They speak to us right now. And therefore, anyone who is not a Christian, as you read this, you should tremble. And hopefully, in a good way, you will tremble as you hear the message preached. Well, we've seen already that the first four bowls show the harnessing of God of nature itself, and so that he brings wrath on the earth, upon the sea, upon the fountains of water, and they're all poisoned, and then upon the sun, so that it is so inflamed that the sun itself is used by God to bring agony and dreadful suffering. Now, while it is right for you to believe and understand that these bowls are current, they are now at this very moment, even as I speak, they will reach their completion. Because if you just look across the page at chapter 15 and the first verse, there we read that these plagues, these bowls of wrath, is now completed. So there is, as far as the vision is concerned, there is to be a completion. So I expect the bowls of wrath always to be being poured out in every age, in every generation, but they will reach a point of completion. Even this week, I spoke last week, of course, on the effects of the sun upon our world, and I made one obvious application. It's not difficult, really. I don't know how long people have been sun lovers, sun worshippers. In other words, I don't know how long people have longed to tan their bodies by the sun. But now, the growth in skin cancer is immense. It is enormous. The numbers in this country alone. By people who simply loved the sun. The bowls of wrath are being poured out. Just this week, the organisation called NICE that regulates drugs which are available to all of us, all those who have advanced skin cancer, almost all of it brought on by the love of the sun. Now I'm afraid they will no longer be able to have the drugs that were once available. They're being removed. The bowls, I repeat, are current. They are now, they must reach an absolute completion, and they will do. So let's look at the fifth bowl for ourselves, having introduced the subject. Verse 10. And we read that the bowl is poured out on the throne of the beast. So, I'm going to do some spade work again for everyone, because the Apostle Peter says in his letter, in his second letter, he speaks about reminding the people. He says, even though you know these things, I'm going to remind you again. So this morning, a bit of spade work just to remind all of you about this beast. Because here it is, some of you may have forgotten, or you may even doubt who the beast is. The fifth angel poured out his bowl on the throne of the beast. So, I start off by saying to all of you, this is not a literal animal. This is not a beast, a creature, as you might think. No, we have understood easily from the 13th chapter that this beast is given power by the dragon. And the dragon is the devil and Satan. And so it is easy to connect these things. The devil is called the god of this world. The beast is this world. The world that you live in. This godless world, this antichrist, this is the beast. It means that Satan has invaded every structure of society. And if you think there are some parts that are holy and that are good, no, Satan is the god of this world. It is his masterstroke that he has invaded every part of our society. And I want to remind all of you, if you have forgotten, or if you don't believe this, think very carefully. It is not God who dominates the thinking of the majority of people. Rather, it is this world. It is the beast. He's on top. He's ruling. He has the control. And he has the mastery, the book of Revelation says, of everyone. Now you say you're going too far here. You're going over the top. Well, you look at the text. Go on, you look at it, the 10th verse. The beast has a throne. The beast possesses a throne, that is, he has authority. He has the power to rule. And so I have said, it does not matter whether it is science or art or philosophy or religion or thinking or behavior or morals or ethics, whatever it is. The world, the organization of human society, is the counterpart to God's society. It is Satan's alternative. It's the kingdom of the beast opposed to the kingdom of Christ. And you're either a Christian, you're marked by Christ, or you're just entirely marked by this world. You think like the world, you behave like the world, you talk like the world. You have no other means within you to be different. This is why Christian conversion is everything. Christ delivers us when he saves us from the beast, from this world. Now, it is important for me to say this at this juncture. To become a Christian is to leave the beast behind. It is to mean that you no longer have its mark upon you. It is to abandon it. And if any of you should doubt me, don't. Listen to what the scripture says. If any man love this world, i.e. the beast, the love of God is not in him. It is impossible for the love of God to be in a man if he love the beast. Do not love the world or anything in the world. 1 John 2:15. Listen to this, 1 John 5:19. The whole world is under the control of the evil one. I don't say that. The Bible says it in 1 John 5. The whole world is under the control of the evil one. So it does not matter whether you think of science or art or politics or philosophy. I don't care what it is you want to call up into your mind. The whole world is in control of the evil one. And if we would like just something else that would help us to persuade us, I'll give it to you. Here is the letter of James. Do you not know that friendship with the world means enmity against God? Therefore, anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. So it's either friendship with the beast, with the world, or it's friendship with God. The world is Antichrist. So how could anyone be a Christian and still think and behave and love and seek the friendship of the world? James says it's impossible. Can't be done. It's an impossibility. Christianity makes a distinction. It's the cut-off point. That's why people don't want it. Why do you think, for instance, in my own life, that I rebelled against Christ for so many years? Because it's a cut-off from the beast, which rules my thinking and my behavior and my manners. My language, my attitude, my belief systems. To be a Christian is to be removed from this friendship with the world, which is the beast. Now, if I haven't done enough, I'm going to go one step further. How bad is the world? Some of you are saying, the world isn't that bad. Well, I'll prove to you how bad the world is. It's depraved in its behaviour. It's debauched, and it is rebellious. It's drunk on its own importance, and it is utterly lost. There is no hope for it. And the reason why I know that is because this: Satan rules it absolutely, and it needs another rule to come and regain it. And for that reason, we read this: For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. It's so rotten and ruined and destroyed, it cannot be saved except by God sacrificing his own son for it. And if he does not, it will be turned into hell. There's no hope for it. And I'm still rather bemused and shocked, even why Christians haven't got this scriptural view about the world. They've not understood Christ's death, that it takes God's only son to come and redeem it. That is how far gone it is. So to be saved, to come to Christ, is the only hope. This world, the beast, will swallow you up. Well, okay, I've reminded you, if you didn't already know who this beast was. And I want now to speak about this throne. How should we understand it? We need to understand that the wrath of God is poured out on the throne of the beast. If you like, the Oval Office. the place of power. This is the idea that God attacks the rule of the beast even now as we speak. So we should expect in our lifetime, you should expect, to see that kingdom, the kingdom of this world, to suffer loss. That's exactly what I'm looking for. Most of you who know me know I'm a lover of the news. One of the reasons why I'm a lover of the news is I'm watching to see what God is doing to the kingdom of the beast, to this world. Right, I've got 3 or 4 subjects. Very quickly, I'll go through them. Take religion. Take world religion. God's wrath is poured out on religion because it's part of the beast. And even as I speak, God will be pouring out his wrath on world religion. Aren't you glad for the wrath of God? Aren't you thankful for the wrath of God? I am so thankful. Isn't it religion that shuts up the kingdom of God? Aren't you glad that God pours his wrath out on the throne of the beast? Just think for a moment of the hideousness of Roman Catholicism and of its abuse by its priests on thousands and ten thousands of children. Do I want the wrath of God to be poured out upon it? You better believe I do. And am I rejoicing when these things come to light? Of course I am. Look at the collapsing Anglican Church. I put a note up in the kitchen. The Anglican Church, dead in 20 years, well, almost certainly. Because its behaviour and its practices are so indistinguishable from the beast itself, God is pouring out his wrath. And many of us know of the painful, obvious evils of the modern-day charismatic movement. And God gives it up to a lie. It is being judged. And are we not thankful? Yes, we must be thankful for the wrath of God. He pours it out upon its throne. And what emanates from that throne? Religion emanates from that throne. And the same may be said of politics. Even as I speak, the world is in uproar. We have the Arab Spring, which many of you will know about, that has developed this year. Just yesterday, might not matter to you, but it should do. Just yesterday, I heard on the news that Syria is on the verge of civil war. The problems of Egypt and Libya are well documented. We should care about these things. Take the growing dissatisfaction with politics at the moment. The last European elections, did anyone want to vote? Not many. They're not interested. The figures for this last election in our country are going down all the time. Thankfully, people are growing tired of politicians. God pours his judgment out upon the nations. And I notice that the text says that God plunged this kingdom into darkness. Are you glad that God plunged communism into darkness? I am. I am. Aren't you glad that God did that? Surely you must be. But even as we speak, is capitalism being plunged into darkness? Of course it is. What about science? What about science that dominates almost everyone's thinking? If it comes up on the BBC, people believe it. If David Attenborough speaks, or is like, or who else, you care to mention, people believe it. If somebody has a white coat on and peers on TV, they believe them. People are so stupid. They will believe almost anything that they're told. Now, I am no scientist. There are others here who can speak better than I can. But look, surely you must look with interest at what's just happened with the experiment of the Hadron Collider down in Geneva. Because it looks as though there is a particle now that can travel faster than the speed of light. And if something can travel faster than the speed of light, what will that do to the scientific foundations that have been established, that all of you who went to school were told, and that you believed, and you were told it was right? Do I not think that this and others probably, I don't know what the outcome of this will be, But it would not surprise me that the Lord, in his greatness, in his wrath, he would pour out upon the scientific world so that the findings of men like Einstein might, after all, have been wrong. And there will we all be. God's punishment is upon science and upon politics and philosophy and art and commerce, because they say that there is a viable alternative. Follow me. I just thought this week, I couldn't help but say this morning. I heard a woman on TV interviewed on the news who said that she had faith. I had to pinch myself. She had faith in her politician. He happened to be Dr. Liam Fox. Faith in a politician. Well, that faith now is broken. And what do I see in it? As soon as I hear that, as soon as I see it, I see the wrath of God poured out on the throne of the beast. This is the thinking of people, which is being broken by God's loving kindness. So when God pours wrath out like this, we'd better be thankful. To finish up on this little point, if any of you think that I have gone too far, I call up the book of Daniel and I allow it to speak, because he witnessed there, in the midst of the heathen world systems of his day, he witnessed powers, extraordinary powers. And this is what he said. The Most High rules the kingdoms of men and gives it to whom he will. The Lord is in control. The Lord is ruling. And therefore, as our text so clearly shows us, he is pouring his wrath out on the beast. Now, practically, if you want, you can go on believing science and art and philosophy as much as you like, and go on believing the politicians. But I promise you that all that will be left, if you believe in such systems, is you will ultimately walk in darkness. Because the text so clearly says that the fifth angel poured out his bowl on the throne of the beast, and his kingdom was plunged into darkness. Well, I've already hinted at the fact that politics, science fails, commerce, whichever model you choose, they all fail. But what I need to say further is this, is that the beast, the idea of the beast, this world, is that it's running without God. If you're committed to this world, you're running without God. You're surviving just without God. And the truth is that millions of people, as God pours out his wrath, are plunged into darkness. They don't know which way to turn. They don't know who to believe next. They don't know what to do. They don't know who to trust. They don't know who to believe in. Consequently, I would listen carefully to this, because it's so of the moment. Millions suffer the misery of broken relationships built on the theories and the philosophy of men. Millions. And if you don't think that this message is important, one day, if you're in a relationship which is broken and ruined, and your life is ruined because of it, you may remember this message. The darkness today of sexual liberation, young people who will grow up and just sexually experiment with one person and then another and then another. Don't tell me this is not relevant. I want God's wrath to be poured out. I want that darkness to be dealt with. The pit of woeful morals, the system breaks down because God ultimately casts it into darkness. I thought of E.M. Forster's book, I think of 1909, last night, The Machine Stops. Here is the 10th verse. God is saying, the machine stops. I throw a spanner in the works. And in the world that you live in now, which is the world of the beast, God throws a spanner in the works. You trust in Clinton? God throws a spanner in the works. You trust in Cameron? God throws a spanner in the works. Or Fox? It does not matter who it is. Or communism? Or capitalism? It really does not matter. Science, art, philosophy. God is judging the throne of the beast. Now, if you hadn't taken notice before this morning, my prayer, of course, is that because of the 10th verse of Revelation 16, that you will go out and take notice. All right, what does it produce? You look at the text. It reminds us of Pharaoh, whose hardened heart almost wavered as he was confronted with the penultimate plague. You noticed in the reading that his heart almost wavered. He almost gave way. He almost responded and did the right thing. But do you know, he just couldn't do it. And he was presented with thick darkness. And so here, in our text, the people's hearts just get harder and harder and harder. Someone develops skin cancer, they blame God. They don't repent. They're not sorry for their lives. They're not sorry for their sin. Something dreadful happens in a relationship and people wander in deeper and deeper darkness. They don't turn to God. They don't ask themselves the questions about where they've gone wrong. They're belligerent. They're stuck exactly where they are. And some of you at the end of this message, you may just be as stuck as you were when you came into this room. But you actually can be set free. So that you no longer walk in thick darkness. A felt darkness. And this morning you know whether your experience is one of felt darkness. Or whether you have the light of life which is Christ himself. The problem is you probably are not able to be remorseful and to abandon the world that you've always been a part of. So I'm asking you. Can the ideas and the thinking of this world, can they produce life? Can they? Or is it a failed system? Well, God shows us this completely failed system. The only light which can come to our souls can come to us through Christ. Is the machine stopped? Is the machine stopped? Do the gears get locked up and life won't go anymore? The answers can't be found. Well, thanks be to God for that. Do you recognize that you're walking in darkness? If so, leave it. Abandon it. Forget it. When I was 19, just before I was converted, I really believed in politics. I really believed that communism, for instance, might have the answer. It's all failed. It's all washed up. It's all of no use. How can I persuade you to not believe anymore in this world? Because the day that you don't believe in it, there's a very good possibility that you'll come to the Lord. The day that you realise this morning that I'm walking in darkness, I don't know which way to go. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know what's going to become of my life. I don't know why I'm here, where I'm going to. On that day, there's a very good... While ever you believe that this world has the answer, you're going to remain with it. So this morning, I urge you to leave your world of darkness, go to Christ, because he said, I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. In this world of darkness, you can walk in light. But it can only, and I underline only, it can only be by faith in Christ and in him alone. Now, in the light of everything that I've said, can you now understand why the Lord Jesus said, I don't pray for the world? That makes sense, doesn't it? The Lord Jesus said, I don't pray for the world. Why? Because the world is doomed. It's finished. It's all washed up. It's got no answers. So you're either on the world side, you've got the mark of the beast. In other words, you think like this world and you act like the world. Or you're following the Lord Jesus Christ. So I'm saying to you this morning, look once more at the text. I'm nearly done. It says, the fifth angel poured out his bowl on the throne of the beast, and his kingdom was plunged into darkness. Men gnawed their tongues in agony because they were wandering around in darkness. That was the sense of pain. They gnawed their tongues in agony and cursed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores. But they refused to repent, and it's the last part, of what they had done. What have you done? You've lived your life without reference to God. You think this world is everything. And although always, constantly, it tells you that it's shot through, that it's empty, that it can't supply, you still believe in it. So repent of what you've done. Repent this morning of your practiced sin and leave it behind. Come to Christ. Come to the Saviour. Believe in him. Put your faith in him. And I'll tell you what, he'll fill you with himself. And if he does, you'll have a changed life. These are my last words. You'll have a changed life. You'll have changed views. You'll have changed practices. Changed behaviour. You'll have a changed devotion. Changed ideas, changed attitudes. The Apostle Paul can have exactly the last word. You will be transformed. To be a Christian is to be transformed, or to use the old authorized version, to be translated. Listen to what he says. He says that it is to be translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son, in whom you have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Well, you know whether you're a Christian this morning. Of course you do. You know whether you're a Christian. You've been translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. You're either a Christian or you're not. You either love this world and you are devoted to it. And the friendships that you seek are all really in this world. Or you're a Christian. And as we sang in the hymn, even if my parents are gone, and now all the friends in the world are gone, but God is my friend. Ooh, I have a friend indeed. Now, which will it be for you? Will it be Christ or this world? It lies with you. You must decide. I've set before you the 10th verse. The fifth angel poured out his bowl on the throne of the beast, and his kingdom was plunged into darkness. Recognize your darkness this morning. Come to the Lord. He is the light of the world. May God bless his word to us. Amen. Amen. Well, let's sing the final hymn together. In the red hymn book, 394, we shall stand to sing.
side, God shall appear, and we shall rise with gladness in His sight. Our hearts, if God we seek to know, shall know Him and rejoice. His coming light, the morn shall be like morning songs, His voice. As dew upon the tender herb, diffusing fragrance round, as showers that usher in the spring and cheer the thirsty ground, so shall His presence bless our souls and shed a joyful light, that hallowed morn shall chase away the sorrows of the night.
Loving Heavenly Father, we are glad that in the past You have sent a thick darkness, a darkness that even can be felt upon the souls of men, upon their minds and upon their thinking, their affections, their feelings. And Lord, in our own time there are those who suffer such deep darkness. But we ask You, be gracious, Lord, and to lift that gloom. We know that it can only be lifted by the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Saviour. It can only be lifted by the cross of Calvary. For there was a place of great darkness that the Lord Jesus Christ suffered, when in His body we know that He took upon Himself the sins of everyone who puts their trust in Him. Lord, we pray that light and the glory of the gospel might dawn upon each and every one of us this day, and that we might be thankful to You. Lord, come to us and help us, we beg You, as we commit our lives into Your care now with thankfulness and praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.